Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Financial fraud is a really, really serious problem. It affects individuals, it affects organizations, it affects relationships. And unfortunately, for victims of human trafficking, they're even more susceptible to fraud and sometimes are coerced into taking on additional debt. Sue Hutchinson is the president of Equifax Canada, and she joins us now to talk about this issue, the problem, some of the solutions out there, and why Equifax is supporting some legislation to look to protect survivors. Hello there, Sue.
Hi there, Bruce. How are you?
I am well. I want to ask first off if you could give us some context for this challenge in Canada. How many people does it affect? How significant would you say an issue is it for those who are harmed in this way?
So I guess the big picture, Bruce, is, you know, fraud is a big issue. And fraud has accelerated because of COVID and really the digital transformation that so many companies have gone through. But just kind of by the numbers, overall fraud is up about 40% from 2021 to 2022. In numbers, that's gone from about $380 million, this is just here in Canada, to about $530 million in actual losses. So it is a big issue, an accelerating issue, and it's, you know, highly concerning and obviously connected to cybersecurity. It's often the bad guys. So, you know, in the context of our mission and vision, which is really helping people live their financial best. And so as the president of Equifax Canada, mine is helping Canadians live their financial best. You know, one of the groups that's very harmed in many ways of their lives are survivors of human trafficking. And as they go through that, you know, horrendous recovery, the financial recovery becomes often a big issue. So just in terms of human trafficking, I guess there were, you know, there's about sort of 2,000 cases a year. And unfortunately, that is also growing. Unfortunately, most of it is accounted for by sex trafficking, and most of the victims are women.
And it would probably be not too large a stretch to say that number is underreported, because I can imagine there would be many victims for whom it would be difficult to come forward, and they would have to be weighing the cost versus benefit on coming forward. I want to ask a nuanced question on the issue, and that is around this idea of coerced debt, because pure financial fraud, someone stole my identity, they took out a card in my name, they used that card, kind of easy to see, it's black and white. In the case of human trafficking, though, you could have an individual who is forced to take on debt, but they were in the room when it happened, they were aware that it happened, powerless to do anything about it. How do you understand the shades of gray there?
Right. So the, you know, the proposed legislation that we're supporting, first of all, is, you know, being read in the House, will likely go into legislation in the spring or summer of this year. It was supported by all four parties, which is quite unusual. But what it does, it introduces this concept of coerced debt, as you said, Bruce. So what that means is it's when you're under the control of traffickers, you're forced to take out, or they take out debt in your name, and sometimes you're involved in the process. And it's often because most of these victims, let me just look at my notes here, I think they're 72% are under the age of 25. So they're quite young. So the kind of debt that gets taken out in their name is usually credit card debt. Sometimes it's student loans. And, you know, the average debt is close to $30,000. So for people coming out and trying to recover from that, that is just a tremendous burden. So the concept of coerced debt was introduced because, of course, as a credit bureau, we do forgive fraudulent debt. It's often quite a process. People have to, you know, prove it. We have to get validation. This process should be somewhat easier. It's also supported by a tribunal. But effectively, what the legislation does is that no lender can adjudicate based on this coerced debt. It has to be forgiven. No collection agency, either directly by the lender or outsourced, can go collect on this debt. And it will be removed from your credit file. We've done some similar work in the U.S. as well. So we're very supportive of, you know, this really, really sad issue and this segment of the population that have to deal with it.
I was the victim of fraud a year ago, and I have every privilege there is in terms of education and gender and financial literacy and all those things. And there are still errors on my credit file that I cannot get changed. For all the power and the follow through that I have, the fraudster's phone number and address are still on my file. What needs to happen to make it easier for people to report and follow through on the correction on these things?
Yeah. So I guess speaking for Equifax, you know, we're trying to make a lot of improvements in how we're dealing with some of these issues, and whether people are calling because things are just mistakes or, you know, someone, you know, sometimes we have the same name, the father and son, and the report gets, you know, mixed. You know, we're moving our technology to cloud technology with a lot of machine learning and AI. It's much smarter to try to find these errors that sometimes happen. We have, you know, improved, I think, adjudication process where we're really trying to make sure that we're dealing with kind of these backlogs. I see them. I read some of the customer inquiries. It's highly frustrating. At the same time, we are regulated, so we have to go through a lot of hoops to make sure that it is true fraud. It has been validated. But, you know, I think it's still quite a frustrating process. So I apologize for that if we're part of your frustration.
What is the opportunity of artificial intelligence as you look to the future, and in particular, as it relates to human trafficking and financial fraud? What are the indicators that might illuminate to a bureau such as yourselves that there's something going on that would fit with a particular pattern of behavior?
Yeah, and you know, it's a lot. It's not just, you know, artificial intelligence and machine learning. It's also the, you know, latest and greatest technology. So just to give you a real life example, you know, Equifax is moving all its technology to cloud globally, and actually Canada's leading the way. And so if you kind of think of, you know, old tech versus new tech, just roughly, not getting too technical, you know, old tech is usually batch overnight processes, you know, chugging away in a data center on maybe mainframe technology, et cetera. So it's slow. It's not real time. We have a lot of what we call kind of fragmented files. And this would be like S. Hutchison and Sue Hutchison and Susan Hutchison. And and maybe in the old world of technology, those things don't get combined. So maybe numbers and the fraudster's name and things don't get picked up as easily. So on the latest and greatest technology, which we now have at Equifax, and a lot of you know, AI and machine learning embedded, we're finding things faster. Equifax has run a fraud consortium for many years in this country, about 15 years, and we just moved it all onto a new platform. It's cloud-based, it's real-time. So we're finding things faster, the performance is faster, we're, you know, the data is being connected better, you know, the processing power is higher. So all of these things will find anomalies in the data much quicker, much faster than old tech or human beings, frankly. So a lot of our modeling now and our testing is in just a whole different technical environment, which is much superior.
I'm going to use a kind of a cliche word, but it's the best one I can think of, and that is the ecosystem, the credit ecosystem for victims of human trafficking. There's lots of players here. There are the social service agencies that may support a woman leaving an abusive relationship. There is government agencies that will help her get her identity back, her documents back under her possession if they've been taken by her perpetrator. There's the credit bureaus, the banks. There's nonprofit credit counseling agencies. From your vantage point, what are the biggest ideas? What is the biggest role that the ecosystem, using air quotes here, needs to take on to make a significant difference with this population?
in their recovery or in the actual crime.
Or in the prevention of the crime, perhaps, too, because I can imagine there's an awareness part.
Yeah. So I'm not an authority on human trafficking, so I can't really comment on what we need to do to protect, which are mostly the female population. So I really can't comment on that. But I think in terms of recovery, where we can play a small role, is really just, you know, understanding the issue. We have, you know, I have a little tiny window and a little more learning than I used to have since we're supporting this. And I think it's about really the whole piece around helping people live their financial best. So we're working on, you know, for example, you know, bringing in new data so that people can actually have a credit file, can have a credit score. We have a lot of underserved populations in Canada that we kind of think everyone's equal and fairness and the mosaic and all this stuff in Canada, but actually there are, you know, many populations, as you know, that are underserved. They're the young folks, they're Black communities, Indigenous communities, new to Canada, right? They come, they have no credit score, and it hasn't been a tradition of the past to bring an international credit file with you. So some of these new Canadians, all of the new Canadians come with no financial background. And of course, while the banks try to do their best, you know, they offer sort of a secured credit card. So if you give us $2,000, we'll give you a credit card with a $2,000 line. And that just doesn't suffice if you're coming with a family and you need to buy a refrigerator and a couch and all these kinds of things. So we're trying to help that the ecosystem there in terms of bringing in alternative data. So telco data, mobile phone data, utilities data. So really helping these populations by bringing more data. You know, one of the things a great example is if you rent an apartment for 10 years and you pay $2,500 a month, and you have a mortgage and it's $2,500 a month for 10 years, those rental payments do not contribute to a credit score. And yet it shows capacity to pay, it shows ability to pay, it shows trustworthiness. So at Equifax, we're starting to bring in some rental data and we're starting to look at how do we model that? Because the face of Canadians is changing, right? So you and I probably bought a house, probably bought a car, but the younger generation are renting more. They're using rideshare, they're taking Uber and Lyft, they're not buying cars. Some of them aren't even getting their driver's license. And yet those are some of the traditional pieces of information that we would include in credit scoring. So we have to really modernize how we're looking at this. And we have done so in the US. Equifax has run an exchange with utilities and telco information for 20 years. And lenders will go and look at that and see if there's additional data to help score more people, to help what we say thicken the credit file and give them the ability to borrow. So we're really excited about that. We've been, you know, really working with the industry together to try to make some changes here in Canada.
Really interesting stuff. Sue, thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Sue Hutchinson is the president of Equifax Canada. She was here to talk about a number of things, but principally this issue of human trafficking and financial fraud.
Hi, it's me, your debt. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.